Well, good evening and welcome back to our evening service. And as you can tell, we're in a series right now, but we're not talking at you, we're talking with you. And the staff has been on a journey, and the Deacon Fellowship has been on this journey for about almost 2 years, and we're inviting you as a church family to join us because we really believe, as we read the New Testament, that it's very clear what we're supposed to be as a New Testament church, a grace church. And today's emphasis is on the third grace essential called equipping. And I would like to invite you to do two things right now. Find the bulletin insert. If you have it with you, pull that out so we can be working. And on the back of that bulletin insert with the grace distinctives, you have a worksheet for the SWOT analysis. So please get that and a pen out if you have it accessible. And also open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And this is what we believe is the jugular text, if you will, dealing with equipping in the local church. Actually, Ephesians 4, the passage that Pastor preached on this morning, can stand alone as a blueprint for the local church, the New Testament church. So as we begin to have our discussion, I want to hear once again these words from Paul telling us what the New Testament church is supposed to be and what it's supposed to do. It starts out with the Lord providing all the goods for it to be a success, right? We're going to read that at the beginning of this text. And then it talks about what the journey is going to look like as we grow and mature. And verse 16 is the destination. And you need to see yourself in verse 16. Verse 16 is not about the other people across the room. It is, but primarily you need to read yourself into that verse. This is the goal for all of us in a New Testament church. So let's be reminded of what this text says. And we'll begin reading at verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And if you look over at the grace blueprint for today, we always want to be careful that we don't isolate these grace essentials from the other four essentials, but also from the mission statement, the purpose statement at the top. Let's be reminded of why the church exists. It's in that top shaded box. We exist to display God's glory by making disciples through the gospel of grace. And what Pastor and the staff has been teaching through this process is that that's why we exist. Now, how do we know if we're doing it? Well, it'll show up in five different ways at the same time. There will be growing in the text, in community, in equipping, in worship, and in missions. When those five pistons are hitting, God is being glorified as the gospel of grace is creating disciples. Now tonight we're talking about equipping, actually all day, that middle box. And I want to read to you, if you look at that middle box, our statement for equipping. It's serving Christ by equipping every member to mutually edify one another. And that's the wording that we think best summarizes this text that we are considering tonight. Now, I want to take just a few moments and introduce to you who's on our panel tonight. The staff, the pastoral staff, has chosen these folks to represent and to help us with our discussion as a church family tonight. They're not up here for arbitrary reasons, though. Okay? Obviously, if we wanted to come across better, we wouldn't have Pastor Paul up here. No, I'm just kidding. Let me explain why they are up here, okay? First of all, I'm up here because Pastor needed a break, right? But of course, we have Pastor Paul and Abby. If we're talking about equipping, and we're going to define that in great detail tonight, but let me just say this. just to cut to the chase, it's to prepare for one another ministry. All right? Preaching exhorts us to action. Equipping gives us the goods to obey. Pastor Paul and Abby are doing this in the youth group. I mean, my own children have come through their ministry of discipleship. But on top of that, Abby is also a graduate of one of our biblical counseling cohorts here at Colonial Baptist Church. We call it Grace Counseling Institute, and she has gone through that training completely. Rick Graham is next, and Rick is overseeing our new ministry, Way of the Master Training, which is definitely an equipping ministry. Scott Van Beveren was going to be on the panel tonight, but because of work, he wasn't able to show up. Some things have come up there, but Scott is deeply involved in our equipping ministry. He and Ben Caprio and others are involved in our Bible Institute, and they also are involved in the Financial Peace University. I mean, these are equipping ministries. Andrew Bates is up here for two reasons primarily. He was chosen, number one, he has a deep desire to train children and equip children for ministry, but he's also a student at Central Seminary, and we find that important. To having him on this panel reminds us of the relationship between the seminary and the church. Though the seminary has a separate board and all that, it still shares a parent-child relationship with the church. As Pastor tells us all the time, it's the business of the local church to train pastors, and our expression of that is Central Seminary, and we have a student here from that. Heather Erickson, it's great to have her here. She has a real heart for children. If any of you know her, you know that. But she also has a unique dimension to her, and she has been she traveled four straight years to a local church in Lafayette, Indiana, named Faith Baptist Church. And that church is exemplary in how they train everyone in their church to counsel one another. And she has been through that training all the way and will bring a good perspective to this. Dr. Mike, of course, is one of our seminary profs. He's one of our deacons here at Colonial Baptist Church. He is a pastor. He's been a pastor in the past. And on top of that, he oversees an incredible resource that's not just available to our seminary family, but to our whole church family, and that's our library. And then, of course, Ann and Bob Burton. I'm president of the Ann and Bob Burton fan club, all right? I mean, I'm excited that they are some of the first graduates of our biblical counseling cohort training here at the church. But even when I came, I met them in a counseling session. They were working through counseling someone and being a real encouragement to someone, and I was invited into a counseling session. God has been using them here in a great way as deacons and as counselors in this church body. Some of you have been blessed by their investment in your life. And so they are big proponents of equipping ministry. So with the introductions out of the way and why they are up here, I'd like to start over with Pastor Paul and just ask you, as you ponder Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and Pastor's message this morning, what was the big idea? What is it that grips you about the importance of equipping, and what is equipping?
That's a good question. What hit me mainly from this morning is there's this idea put out in Ephesians 4 that pastors are gifts to the church, and I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, does that mean that a pastor is a superhero Christian because he's this gift from God? And so I'm toying with this in my seat. Like, I thought the reason we're on stage is so that they can see us, right, Pastor? Not that we're special. And so I'm fighting this in my mind, like, because I'm thinking of my own inadequacies and resonating with Pastor and when he's expressing his, and looking around the church and thinking, there are a lot of spiritually mature people, and I'm looking at the spiritually the qualification of the spiritual mature person that we looked at, those three things, and I have a long ways to go in that. And I'm thinking, me as a pastor, not a superhero Christian, but what brings me joy and what brings a resolution to this is how it ends. Look how it ends. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. He's the superhero Christian, if you're wondering. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, are you seeing the unity, the equal plane that all of us are on? And that is such a relief to me. You know, because when I look at these qualifications, not only of a pastor, but the qualifications of someone who's spiritually mature, I'm like, I got a long ways to go in that. And I'm just glad that there's an emphasis here on unity and how we are all equal in that. So,
am I answering the same question?
Same question for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and just lose the attitude, okay? Just answer the question.
I think the main thing that I've gotten from this morning was the fact that this is not the future that we're talking about here in this passage. Hmm. Is that this is for today, and it's to be obtained today. And I think I'm very, I don't know if you say nearsighted or short-sighted, however, when I think about this, like, this can't happen, you know, like, when I think of my sin and other people's sin, but that this is to happen today, and that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to work in our lives to make this happen. And then the answer, I guess you asked, what is equipping? When I think of it in my own life and when I think of what I'm trying to do today, that it's not formal, sitting down always together, talking about your sin issues and working through that, but it's riding in the car with another wife and her telling me, you know, how she's praying for her husband's spiritual leader, how she doesn't want to, you know, disrespect him by nagging him about it. And that's speaking truth to my heart because, you know, I tend to nag, you know, and just thinking of just how others have helped me to grow and how it really is just speaking truth and how that's grounded in us really pursuing our own maturity in Christ and how it's an outflow of that. So.
As I'm thinking through and meditating on our passage this morning, I see that there's a place for everybody in the body. That there's no one gets off by saying, well, I don't fit anywhere, or there's nothing for me to do. There's a mutual responsibility where we're building each other up in the faith. We're all equipped to do something, and we're in the process of training others to do that. Now, as a missionary, former missionary, it's just discipleship. It's trying to impart a passion into the heart of every believer, every person that you have that you could teach to be like Jesus. And that's what I see in this verse. It's what makes the church continue to grow and look to, not only right now, and I really like what you said about that, it's for right now. But we're here tonight because 2,000 years ago, that in Acts 8, chapter verse 4, where they went everywhere preaching Jesus. And here we are tonight.
Amen. Pastor said a couple times this morning that we are people who have been called out of a pagan society. And as I think about myself being called out of a pagan society, as I'm being equipped, who am I to equip others? Who am I to, when I hear someone try to equip me or help me, to edify me, to build me up, they too have been called out of a pagan society. Yet there's a place for all of us. And that my focus is not on myself or where I've been saved out of, but my focus is on Christ. And that as I'm equipped, am I excited that I've been saved out of this pagan society? And I'm so excited that as I'm learning, as I'm being equipped, I'm going out and equipping others. So for me, the biggest part was, am I just sitting back and being equipped, and am I okay with just sitting back and relaxing, or am I going out and taking what I'm learning and helping to equip others so they can edify others and continue to grow themselves?
When Pastor Jim called and left my voicemail saying, yes, you can be on tomorrow night and we're going to be doing Ephesians 4, I read through the passage last night in preparation for the message today, and the verse that caught my attention was verse 15, where it says, growing in grace in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body in the church. And then I kind of prepared myself waiting for Pastor Daniel to talk about it today in the message, and when he brought up, went through these verses, the fact that equipping is just basically pulling along someone alongside of you to be able to take and grab them and bring them with you as you go on your journey, and then constantly be in the training and teaching mode so that they're always learning and you're never missing an opportunity to train someone.
Pastor Daniel brings a message annually to our seminary students known as the TLC message. The T is text, L is love, and C is correlation. When we look at this passage, it's all about correlation. Apostles and prophets gave the Word of God. Evangelists and pastor teachers minister the Word of God to the saints. The saints grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sufficient Word becomes the platform in which the saints are equipped in turn to live a Christ-like life, and then to turn around and reach out a helping hand to other Christians in teaching them the principles of the Word of God so that they can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we are engaged in an equipping ministry as a local church, we're all growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, learning the Word of God, applying it to ourselves, and then providing a venue that others have the opportunity to incorporate the Word in their heart and life.
Thanks a lot. Okay, I think verse 14, where it says that we shouldn't be children anymore, if you get a room full of children together, it's not long before they're not speaking the truth in love. Anybody that works in the nursery here knows that children will say the truth very, very often, but it's very, very often not in love. And so what I appreciated this morning was the emphasis on speaking the truth in love. You can say some really hard and heavy things to a person if they know you love them. And you have to have that love before you can begin to interact with someone else, because it's very apparent when someone doesn't love. And you lose your ministry, you lose your effectiveness, you lose the person that you're trying to interact with if it's a flippant or an unkind encounter. And so I think what I really appreciated the most this morning was Pastor's influence on speaking the truth in love, making sure that Christ is the center of your heart, and that He is filling your heart with love, and then you can minister.
Okay. I wasn't bailing out of this. But the thing that stood out to me was the individual aspect of verse 16. And there's a responsibility that we have individually for care for the body. And, that's God's plan for us, and that's how He gifted the church. And my little part in helping someone is part of the larger picture of the body. And as Pastor Daniel mentioned about the equipping, about mending, like mending a net, and I thought that a net is made up of individual squares, yet they're connected to each other, and they're supported by each other. And when the net is mended, it can be a useful thing. And that's how I see the equipping, is that we are helping someone else, not that we're overseeing someone, but that we're coming alongside them to encourage them in obedience.
What benefit is one little square by itself?
Well, One little square, I guess, can get a lot of training and how to do things, but the equipping, you know, by himself is not. You've got to be connected,
right,
to pull that off.
So you're trying to tell us tonight that there's no such thing as, well, let me put it this way. You're trying to tell us that the church is not a weekly collection of islands.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. It's a peninsula. It's the main body.
Right.
We are all connected. And that's why I'm so thankful Pastor in his message this morning started out the reading at verse 1, which it talks about the diversity, right? And the basis for our unity is our diversity. We are different. We don't want to get together and have a room full of Andrews, you know. We just don't want that. I mean, there's one's enough, okay? He's a nice guy. How can I pick on him? All right, I'll do Rick. Rick? Okay. But we are not supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to be intimidated by the strengths of others nor by the weaknesses of others. The diversity is the basis for our unity. And that's the beauty of the body image that we see in verse 16, right? And Pastor Paul emphasized it with his voice. The whole body, every joint, each individual part. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for the panel. Talk to me. What is the difference? I mean, some people are still not clear on what equipping is and what sets equipping apart from just teaching and learning facts and, as Pastor says, nouns and verbs and themes, which is important. Data is important. But what sets equipping apart from that? What's the relationship? Both are important.
I would go right to the very last phrase in my Bible where it says, as each part does its work. Mm-hmm. If you're just getting the facts, then you're never going to get here. Mm-hmm. Equipping's going to take you right here where you're going to get out and do the work.
Yeah. The youth ministry purpose statement that we've had for a while now is explore truth, express faith. So there's two sides. So we don't just get together and go bowling, and that's fun. How does that fit into explore truth, express faith? Now, we're going to have some things, programs that are going to be specifically geared more towards one rather than the other. And how are we expressing our faith to each other when we're going bowling? So we have youth staff, like Andrew. We have youth staff that are modeling this in front of them and showing them this is, it's not just about bowling and winning. There's a bigger picture there, and it's expressing our faith, expressing what we believe into each other's lives and encourage each other and building up the body, speaking truth into each other.
Good. Else? The way I try to keep it, the distinctions in my mind are, Pastor preaches through a text, and the Spirit uses Pastor as he exposes the text to us and explains it. Now, up to that point, church is a safe place. Because when Pastor's preaching an expositional message, we're all facing forward and we're sitting still and we're quiet and we understand that text more, and the Spirit is impressing on our hearts the magnificence of that text and our obligation to that text. So far, church is a safe place, right? But when we dismiss, church becomes a dangerous place because we stop being quiet and we start turning around and we start interacting with people, or we start avoiding people. Equipping is what happens to prepare you to turn around and apply this text to the one another, to one another's in the body with you, ministering to one another. I mean, watch this. You read in Hebrews 10:24 that we need to study how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Okay, it's one of the one another passages we like to trumpet. But here's the deal. You can be impressed with the importance of counseling one another, admonishing one another, but as a church and as equippers, our calling is to provide some training opportunity for you so you know what to do. Mm-hmm. If you engage someone in a conversation and they let you know, they let you in. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, plans in the heart of a man are like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw them out. As you draw out someone's heart, you find out there's some pain in there. I mean, there's some serious wrongs that have been committed against them in their past, or some serious struggles they've been involved in. Well, what do? I mean, you were obeying by getting engaged, but once the stuff comes to the surface, what do you do with it? This is where equipping is helpful. We want to prepare you to deal with what comes to the surface as you obey, as you go out and obey in a counseling ministry. All of you are involved in counseling in one way or another. It's near and dear to your heart. And counseling is just a synonym for discipleship, as you've mentioned. Heather, why don't you describe just real quickly what has impressed you about a sister local church in Lafayette, Indiana, in the Midwest that's still under snow? Okay, what have you seen there in your counseling ministry?
Lafayette did not stop with their ability just to begin training people within their church. As soon as they started implementing biblical counseling within their body, for example, Pastor Jim was doing a counseling session, he invited someone else to come in. And that person immediately began the training process. So he was not only helping someone else with their counseling session or counseling issues, but using the opportunity to equip someone else to be able to go out and do the exact same thing. And they have taken it to the broader level, where people come from all over the United States and all over the world to be able to come for one consecutive week just to focus for an entire week on biblical counseling and the importance of it, where they not only just invite you into hypothetical counseling situations, but they just give you live examples of what they've learned and how they've equipped their people so that you can go back and get it started in your local church.
Yeah. I like that conference because they require that you stay over a Sunday so you can see their church body functioning in Ephesians 4:16 manner. That's example number one. Exhibit one is counseling. Another exhibit, Pastor Daniel or Pastor Matt Campbell get up and they exhort us to be more evangelistic, to share our faith. As a matter of fact, the two Pastor Matts, two Christmases ago, used Selah moments for a whole month to encourage us to engage our community in relationships for the sake of evangelism. Now, it's one thing for us to be moved into action by the exhortation from the Word of God, right? Got to be more evangelistic. Got to make relationships in the neighborhood. But once the conversation starts rolling with a neighbor, do you know what to say? I mean, you're obeying by engaging, but once the conversation gets rolling, do you know what to say? This is where equipping comes in. We want to tell you what to say. Get tools in your hands so you know how to respond and shift with an evangelistic emphasis. Like, this is exactly the equipping that Rick is involved in. Rick, what would you have to say about this?
The way of the pastor, I guess you want to just touch on that. Been saved for some 36 years now. Was blessed to have pastors that took me along with them and trained me, or let me, as you mentioned, watch them share Christ. And so I've been around some great folks and great pastors and evangelists. But the way of the master was something that we just kind of stumbled into and found through a guy named Mark Cahill. And it uses the law of God to help people's heart be prepared for why they need Jesus. It helps them understand the cross better. If you want to help somebody know why they need a parachute, hang them out an airplane at 20,000 feet for a couple of seconds, and they'll say, "I see exactly what you mean. Give me the parachute." And so the law, it's through the law that we understand the knowledge. We have the knowledge of sin, and when we fully understand that we're lost and without Christ and hopeless, and headed to hell for eternity, then understanding what Jesus has done is powerful. And the way of the master just takes people lovingly through confronting the Ten Commandments and helps them see that they are liars, they are thieves. We're guilty of adultery, and when we've lusted, we are guilty of murder when we've hated somebody, and so when they come to the place of seeing that, it's easy then to make much of the cross and of Christ and what He's done. It's just it has energized my desire to share Christ and given me much more productive. I mean, I don't know how to say it. It just seems to flow and to have a more a stronger impact as we're sharing Christ with people.
Great. Would the panel agree that training is really, we're in a military context here, training or equipping is training for the sake of deployment. It's not training so that I just get more information. It's training to engage with urgency. I mean, are we safe in summing it up to that? Let me ask you folks to do a quick SWOT analysis of the current ministry. If we understand equipping as training to deploy, not just getting more information, what are our strengths right now? As you look at Colonial Baptist Church as a grace church, what are our strengths? Where are we getting it done so far right now? Who wants to go first? Oh, good.
I've had the opportunity to be at the seminary now for 15 years, and as part of that, being at Colonial Baptist Church, I very much enjoy the fellowship of the church and the gospel preaching, the ministry that's here. In terms of strength, this church, first of all, has a vision. It's gospel-centered, it's mission-minded. And so it's got a good platform for reaching out not only, shall we say, in missions across the world and sending David and Annalisa Wilson to England, but it also has the potential in terms of local ministries for providing training for the members of the church. But as Pastor Jim was just saying, the training itself is not an end in itself. The goal is to take the training, incorporate it into our lives, change our lives, and then reach out to others with the same ministry that's impacted us.
And there's a bunch of you in line here, so just let's all get along, okay?
I think I might be saying the same thing that Dr. Windsor is, but with the seminary, when you coming into the seminary, the church is the model for what the seminary is teaching. And when you look at the result of the seminary, you look at the students that have gone out. They've come, they've become equipped, and now they're deployed. They're all over the world, they're all over the country, and they're church planting, they're missionaries, and they are now equipping others. And so I see the seminary and how the church is picturing what equipping is for the seminary students. I see that as one of the strongest points of it.
Great. Heather?
One of the things that I immediately thought of was the fact that our church is a very multi-generational church, and that is something that is not seen in many churches, even in the area. And so by the fact that we are not only multi-generational, but we use the people from each generation to be involved in serving and ministry, we are in essence equipping the next generation and the generation down. And so whether it be those of us who serve in the nursery ministry and things like that, who are equipping the upcoming generation, or those who teach Sunday school and Bible studies and women's mentoring and things like that, that we have partnered alongside with those in generations below us and really have done a good job at equipping others mm-hmm. through ministry.
One of the ministries that I think we're getting it right in is the counseling ministry, and I guess it's because I've been through that, but for years, it seemed like God was bringing people into my life with problems. And from all of us sitting here tonight, over the course of years, we've all struggled with one issue or another. And if God brings people into your life with issues and you're not sure where to direct them, you know the scripture, you know the scripture is sufficient for all things, you know that scripture has the answer, But if you don't have an orderly progression that you can lead them through, then you wind up struggling. And over many years, I'd struggle with women. I didn't want to have to start in Genesis to get to where they were with their issue or with their problem. And so by taking the counseling class, I know that it's a limited number and it is a long-term commitment. It's a two-year commitment and beyond, if you so choose. But by having a tool, by having, if there's an issue that you're facing with someone, just being able to have a resource to go to begin the ministry, to begin the counseling. You may diverge from that if something else crops up, but you've got a good starting point. You've got a place to begin that help. And then as discipleship progresses, you can watch them grow in other areas. But if you've got a starting point to help them over that first hurdle, it can mean so much. And so I really appreciate the counseling classes.
I think a strength that we have sitting right out here, I can go to people that have been through difficult things, people that have been along the way for a good while. And being a deacon, I'm exposed to a group of guys that, in my mind, are the cream of the crop. But it's just not deacons, though. There's folks here that I believe are practicing what God's Word says, and they have a history to go with that, and they're ready to share. So I think that's a real strong point.
If we were to identify weaknesses, and our time is going quickly, if we were to identify weaknesses, that means where we need to do it still, where we're not doing it. What would just be real quickly be some areas where we need to do a better job of equipping people to do what?
I would say know how to take the theology that we're learning and to put it in people's lives.
Ask Pastor James and Pastor Paul if they need help in youth group and children's church, and ask Pastor Jim if he needs help in counseling. I mean, just, well, yeah, get to work.
I think that you can make people educated, but that's different than making disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been a theme tonight, I think. You've just brought us back to, Rick. It's one thing to amass knowledge. It's another thing to go to work with it. And our work is, I like how Dr. Mike has emphasized a couple of times, we grow first, and then we help those around us grow. We're a mountain range. We're not islands. We're a mountain range. I mean, yeah, we're individuals and we're unique and we need to grow in our Christ-likeness, but if we're not helping others grow around us, really we can only grow so much. You know, fruit of the Spirit is not to be developed in your living room by yourself. Every one of the manifestations of the Spirit's fruit is dealing with other people and your response to them. So, were you going to say something, Tom?
Well, I was just going to say there's a, I don't know if it's a weakness or an opportunity, but I think marriages is one area that I think there's a lot of people that maybe are facing things that we may not be aware of, and that's something very dear to our hearts. I know we had a video seminar, and it's amazing to me the folks that were there, just the problems that they were facing, and I wasn't aware of that before. And I think for whatever reason, we may be reticent to share some things. Mm-hmm. But I do think, a strong marriage certainly is would help the church to be more effective in equipping.
Very good point. This is a burden that I have, too, and that is not only marriage, but premarital counseling, but also parenting training. We ran, I don't know if you remember this, but over a year ago, we ran a pilot program of parenting training. How many of you were in the parenting class that we taught? Raise your hand real high. Yeah, all ages. It was a great time. It was a small group is what it was, a small group dynamic. But we want to bring that in to be more of a permanent fixture. We're not sure where it's going to land yet, so you pray with us on that. And as far as marriage, We handed the DVD to Bob and Ann. We knew they'd run with it. It was a Paul Tripp DVD series. But, yeah, we need to do better. Is that a weakness or an opportunity? Yeah, it's both. We'd like to do that. We'd like to maybe offer some grandparenting classes, how to disciple as a grandparent. Would you like that? Would you guys like that? Pat, would you like that? No? Okay, we won't do that one. We've segued into opportunities that are unique to our context here. Can you think, just real quickly, opportunities that we have in front of us in the culture of our church for training? Any unique ones that we're not doing yet? I hear crickets. You kind of have mentioned them already. I understand that, but I'm going to ask you for a nod, okay? Are you understanding the difference between just getting more information and equipping? Are you seeing that tonight? We want you to be clear on that tonight. It's training for the sake of deployment in each other's lives. In each other's lives. I so appreciate what Pastor said this morning. Just having people over is not community. It's not equipping. I would say that you can get equipped and discipled so that when you have people over, you can get work done. You can talk to their hearts and enter their world. Let me ask the panel one more question before Pastor comes up to dismiss us tonight. And the question is this. What is it in our church that can kill the equipping aspect? Because remember what Pastor said. If this goes away, we don't have a New Testament local church expression. What are the dangers of equipping, Pastor Paul?
Just not being open to somebody speaking truth into our lives. Mm-hmm. And having a posture that's ready for somebody to come up to me and say, look, Paul, you're a jerk here, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Not being approachable. Very good. What else? What will kill it? Kill it dead.
I just think losing our first love.
Okay. Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that if we can even do the right thing for the wrong reason and it kills it?
She sounds like a church I know.
Okay. What's supposed to drive our obedience? Guilt?
No, love.
Love. Yeah.
Passion.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what's the verse? When a disciple's fully trained, he'll be like the master.
Yes. First and second great command is our motivation.
And I was going to say pride, but Paul hit on that. And the other thing is looking around and seeing so many people in our church. We're so blessed to have so many people that are equipped. And to sit back and say, I'm not as equipped or as trained as they are, so I'm going to let them do the work. I'm going to sit back and relax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pastor, I know that myself, when presented with an opportunity to counsel someone, my first thought is, why? I don't have the abilities to do whatever. But being willing, and that's not a good answer. When you're called upon, if God has called you to do something, you should step out. And the thing that really impressed me in obedience to this is that God brought about the love for that brother that would encourage me on to want to see growth. And I can't explain that, how God does that, but he does.
Hmm. Heather, were you going to mention something too?
Yes, sir. The one thing I thought of too was the fact that it's very easy to get overtaxed as a new ministry or opportunity arises. The same people who have been involved in different ministries will be like, oh, that's a good one, I'll jump into that. And the next thing you know, the same people are still sitting and the same people are still serving. Mm-hmm. So kind of to share from our sister church where you're kind of like, welcome to our church. What ministry would you like to be involved in? That's part of our way of equipping, is to instantly get people involved in ministry opportunity so they can begin equipping others.
Amen. Pastor, would you come up and give some closing remarks and close us in a word of prayer, please?
I just want to say thank you so much to the panel and to Pastor Jim this evening. It is a joy to be able to think through on a practical level things that we need to be doing, and not to be afraid to talk about those things that we would call weaknesses. Some people see weaknesses and see problems, but they have no solutions. And I think that the beauty of what we're saying here is we want to see weaknesses, but we also want to see solutions to that. And it's not just enough to identify weaknesses, but we must say, okay, what is it that we can do to strengthen that area that is weak? And so when I was thinking, just listening to these talk tonight, I just thought of Ephesians 4:12 that we read tonight, and that is this phrase, work of ministry. We are equipping the saints for work of ministry. So the issue really is work. It's not going to happen just wake up in the morning and everybody's ready to go, equipped, and everybody's mended together. But it is going to mean that we have to make an intentional investment of our lives in the lives of others. We have to speak into their life. We have to go back and see Chris Benitez and speak into Chris Benitez's life, okay? I've got to look at Patrick Tilson. I've got to speak into Patrick Tilson's life. I want Jacob to speak into Pastor Daniel's life. You see, those are the kinds of things that we need to have the freedom to be able to do that. And, you know, speaking to somebody's life may be a matter of encouragement. Man, I really see something in your life I admire. I mean, there's nothing greater to build, to edify, than to find something, that is really a blessing. Encourage them. And so it's not always just looking for maybe something that is difficult, but also looking for the positive side as well. And I think that they're going to work together. But it is work. So I just want you to know that this is not something that's just going to happen overnight. It's witnessing, to working with youth ministry, to counseling, to all of these things is a challenge. So don't forget the three marks now to know that we're effective, is that we're no longer children tossed to and fro, verse 14. Verse 15, we are speaking into the lives of others in an orbit of love. And number three, verse 16, is everyone's doing their part, edifying itself. We are equipped of God to edify one another. We don't have to go outside here. We are equipped to edify one another as long as it's in this orbit of love, the second time that term is used. So I thank you all so much for sharing with us tonight. And I think that we have struck on something. I told Pastor Jim today that I don't know if there's ever been a harder series for me been this series here out of all the years, but this series has been an incredibly difficult series. And you know, my prayer is that through the work that God will somehow just show our church what it's really like to live in the New Testament, so that if Paul walks into Colonial Baptist Church, he will look at us and say, whoa, I think I'm at the church at Antioch. That's my prayer. And it's going to have to start with here. It's going to start with you. And so may the Lord help us. Let's pray for one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. And let's stand together now and let's do that. And I'll lead you in a prayer together. Lord, it is a great joy to be able to talk about these things and to see if we are effective. Help us not to be fickle people, tossed to and fro. Help us, Lord, to really take the responsibility to speak into somebody's life, encourage them, maybe pointing out areas, but in an orbit of love, as Ann Burton brought out tonight. Lord, that we would edify ourselves. We would not be looking for some other place, some other location, but this church can equip itself. It has been blessed of God to be able to do that. So every person here matters. They are people of value. And our past experiences, our failures, our where we have seen the grace of God and the faithfulness of God can be a great blessing to other brothers and sisters who are facing suffering and difficulty. So, Lord, there is a lot of work to be done. So I pray that we would not shy away from the term work of ministry. But, Lord, that we would labor to the point of exhaustion. We would have holy sweat. We would carve out of our very busy schedules ministry opportunities. It may cost us some time. It may cost us some energy. It may even cost us money. But Lord, help us to do this, to honor you, to glorify you, so that this body looks like Jesus. And that's our prayer. That's our desire. So Lord, thank you for all these people who've come. And I pray it'll be encouragement to them. I pray, Lord, that these on the panel would be a blessing to us as we just reflect on their words. We'd be a blessing to them. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for a church that's very willing to talk about strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and threats and not to be afraid of that, but to bring them up for the reason of strengthening the things that hang limp and things that do not have level ground, things that are hurting, that we might strengthen them for the glory of Jesus. So we ask, Lord, for a wonderful week and even prepare our hearts as we think about worship next week. Who would have ever thought, Lord, that worship would cause such division in the body of Christ? So help us to be thinking, help us to be praying, preparing ourselves for what you would have for us next week, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.